So hi and welcome to our October version of the Gold Plus and Elite ERC call. And these are calls where we can get together and share in a little slightly smaller group setting. For the first few months, we've done two of them just because we want to make sure that there's time and there's a lot of people that fall into that category. And we'll see how that goes if we continue to do that. Last year, when we did the two calls a month, it ended up being the same people on the two calls and we had them in the same week. So we decided, it's not really necessary. And so I know that some of you had submitted stuff. And Paula, I have your heavy metal testing. And I will say, I will go through the parts that I do understand now, you know, the heavy metal part. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had time to really sit with all the documentation there and the absorption of how they do it. And I'm going to do that this weekend when I have some free time. And what I might end up doing rather than, you know, making you wait is to just get on Zoom and record some stuff for you. And then we can chat about, you know, what it means and how you understand it after mm-hmm. that. Is that okay? Because it's been one of those weeks where I was busy nonstop from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. and I have committed to sleep. So I'm not willing to stay up till 3 a.m. anymore to get things done. So I figured you'd understand.
Of course.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I'm going to look at the sheet. Let me find it again. I had it open a minute ago. It was Paula. And then I know that Diana had some questions. And that was it. Okay, so Paula and Diana. So we'll start with Paula and we'll go through this test. There's your client folder. Okay, good. Click on that. And then we go back here. And where did it go? Okay, let me close some of these folders that I had opened from the last call. And there's Paula. No, that's not it. I have too many windows open right now. So I'm trying to get some of them closed because I clicked it to open it. I clicked it from here. So maybe it opened it here. Yes, it did. Okay, Paula. And then we had the HTMA. Okay. All right. Why is it not opening? That's odd. I'm clicking the button. Let me refresh it. I'll go out of it and I'll open it again. It's weird. Okay. And then I'm going to open up your private coaching notes. And
while you're doing that, I just want to tell Debbie how much I really like her haircut.
Yeah, I told her that the other day. I do. I really like it. It's very cute. Okay, there we go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, let me open this in a new tab and then I'll share it. Open in a new window. Okay. Oh, wait, this is not the one I saw the other day. There's two of them. This is the detail one. Let me open the other one. There was a one that said HTMA and one that said HTMA analysis. There we go.
They're both part of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured that out the other day. I thought, is this duplicated? And then I realized that one had the actual numbers.
Right.
And the other had the analysis. Yeah. So let me share screen. Hi, Susanna. Let's see. And if I don't say hi to you because you're not on the visual, I'm not, you know, shorting you. I'm just not seeing you. And I say hi to the folks I see. So I see Debbie and Paula and Angelica and Diana. And I did see and Lynn. Oh, there we go. I had to hit the button. And Susanna, because you shrunk down. So this is the trace elements, toxic and essential nutritional elements thing. And I was telling Paula the other day, on these tests, I really do trust the ones that show up, the toxic metals. it's not really, you know, clear. There's a lot of controversy about how valid the nutritional elements are here. And everybody has a different story about what it means. What I did like about this particular report is that it compares the toxics with the regular because certain ones interfere, right? Arsenic and interfere with selenium and things like that. So this is just your basic. So they didn't find any of the antimony, very little uranium, right? Very little, but mercury. I mean, actually, they're all, this was 0.05, 0.001. It's all very low. It's all extremely low. So really, there's not a lot of toxicity going on in terms of the heavy metals. The thing that they were looking at is the ratios between that and, say, selenium. As far as your regular numbers, there's most of them fall within the reference range. A few fall low. Calcium falls low. I guess potassium falls very low. Mm-hmm. The copper is in the reference range, but the low end of the reference range. The phosphorus is right at the edge of the reference range. Iron is low. Manganese is low or right at the end of the range. Cobalt, molybdenum is definitely low, and sulfur is okay. So the way this test looks at it, it looks at ratios. It's not like, so low calcium or high calcium actually is supposed to indicate, where's zinc? Oh yeah, high zinc and high calcium, they generally say indicate that there's a shortage in the body, that your body's dumping a lot of it into the hair. I'm not sure if this report says it. Every company that I've done these reports with actually says something a little bit different. We do have in Shine, I bet if I can share that with you. A couple of years ago at Shine, one of our students who specializes in the heavy metal testing did a presentation, like a half hour presentation. If you're interested, I can see if we can find the link to that and get it to you. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Let me write that down. I wonder if it was, no, you came to Shine last year, right? Was it last
2 years ago? Oh,
it was 2 years. She might actually have access to that.
All right. I don't remember if it was 2 years ago.
You were at Food as Medicine, right, Paula? No, or were you at Functional
Assessments? Was the one he did it at, which was 16. Right. Yeah.
I was at 17.
You're at 17. Okay. For Paula. Okay. I wrote it down. And here's some additional ones. Barium is usually only high when people have been exposed to things like a barium enema and endoscopy type thing. It's low. Never mind. This is the low. Never mind. None of yours are high. So the good news is there's no sign of toxicity in terms of hair minerals, and hair minerals are a fairly good, indicator of toxicity. So that's a good sign. And some of these are not known to be anything that we necessarily need. They're just going by averages. So I'm not really concerned about that. So significant ratios, the calcium potassium ratio is low, which means there's more of calcium phosphorus, and phosphorus, tends to be high in a lot of things you don't consume, like soft drinks, but also meat. High source of phosphorus and low in calcium. So it may indicate, you know, if there's validity to this, that you would need to be looking at, like the fasting mimicking diet we put together for you the other day, like more vegetables, less meat. Sodium potassium is super high, meaning that there's more sodium than potassium. Calcium potassium is high. It may be that the potassium is actually quite low because both of these ratios are high. Let me look up here at that. Yeah, it's minuscule, right? Potassium's minuscule. Now, again, I want to do so before I give you any advice from here, other than to rest assured that you don't have a lot of toxicity, is before I give you advice based on some of this stuff, I want to do the research and see where they're getting that and what does the research show in terms of potassium in the hair being an adequate indicator in the body. Calcium is a good alkalizing mineral. So it's super, I mean, calcium, potassium, I keep looking at the wrong thing. Potassium is an alkalizing mineral. So it helps to keep you more in the alkaline zone than in the acidic zone. Do you do any testing, pH strip testing?
I haven't lately. I did for a while because I had Dr. Anna's strips.
Yeah.
I ran out of those, so.
Did you tend to run more on the alkaline or acid side?
It was more towards the acid.
Yeah. So the potassium is a good, you know, good sources. And you don't have a lot of dietary sources because most of the dietary sources are high glycemic, you know, bananas, potatoes, et cetera. Yeah. Broccoli is a good source, which you do a lot of.
Yep.
Avocado is a good source, which you do. Mm-hmm. But what you might want to do is go back and do the chronometer again. And see what your dietary intake is of potassium, you know, and see if, where you can improve it, like which of my foods do have much potassium. So just do it for a day or two. You'd only have to do it for a day because you have such a consistent diet,
right?
That you don't have to do it for 4 or 5 days. You can actually do it for a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that's funny about this is your zinc copper ratio is high. And you've been struggling to get the copper down and the zinc up. So what I'm seeing is that's why I'm a little cautious in proceeding with this is because based on your blood levels that you've been doing, mm-hmm. your zinc has been lower than, you know, the zinc copper ratio has been too low and you've been trying to lower the copper and increase the zinc. So I'm not, you know, 100% certain about the validity of this. Toxic ratios. Calcium, lead is, I mean, they're all, acceptable. Many of them are in the acceptable range, which is fine. Lead and calcium. So lead interferes with calcium, but you don't show much in the way of lead. I mean, it's super low, super low. So, why is that an unacceptable ratio? Oh, that's acceptable. Sorry. Let me look at the unacceptable. Iron lead. So lead is pretty low. It just must mean that your iron in here is low. Do you remember what your iron was last time on your blood? Serum is the most accurate.
Well, it's been, you know, really good.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And my hemoglobin is always in the high end of, you know, normal.
Yeah, so I don't see this as an issue because you can't lower your lead toxicity because it isn't there, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not sure that hair is a good indicator. And the same thing with mercury. I think it's just, let me look at your iron here. Iron here shows as low in your hair. But if you look at mercury, it's super low too. So mercury and lead are super low. So why are we concerned, right? I wouldn't be concerned about that ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Which other ones were low? Yeah, those are the only two that are low. And I would just not worry about it. Because, you know, if your iron levels are good, your hemoglobin's good, your lead and mercury are not practically non-existent in your hair, then I wouldn't be concerned about it. Additional ratios, they're all in the expected range. Yeah. So I will take a look at this more to see what the research bears on some of these, but overall, I don't see anything to really be concerned about here. I don't see anything to be concerned about.
Now, one of the things that Wendy Myers says, I've watched, you know, some of her videos, is that sometimes people's bodies are actually toxic but not capable of excreting metals. So she said that will show up low on your tests because your body's just not excreting. So that puts you in the position of not really knowing where you stand. So that means you're supposed to go on her mineral supplementation program to, you know, balance things so that you get healthier and can start excreting these things and have another one of her tests in 3 months to see what your status is. So it's like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my take on that. If you do want to see if your body has some stored and it's not excreted, you do a challenged urine test. So you're basically having to take oral EDTA, which is a chelating agent. It pulls stuff out of your storage places and it will show up. So you do a collection before you challenge, kind of like the one we do for iodine. You do a collection before we challenge. You do the challenge. You take the EDTA, and then there's some, I don't know if it's 24 or 12. I don't remember the hours. And then you collect again and you compare. Here's my take on that. I'm very cautious of doing that with anybody that has any neurologic issues. And the reason is, if it's stored, it could be the body protecting you. Not that it can't, but it's afraid to let things out of the storage. So you're going to be safer if it's stored, right? You're going to be safer if it's stored. Ideally, you want to get rid of it. But I tend to run really cautiously on that. Now, when I've done these tests before on people I suspected, they had elevated levels a little bit. Like, I've never seen anybody that was so challenged that they didn't have anything show up on the non-challenge. So when I do that non-challenge with people, I'll usually see levels. Sometimes they're, you know, a little bit elevated, borderline up there, you know, but not super high. And then when they do the challenge, they go real high because the body's able to release it from storage. Yours are so low. I mean, they're really super low. Like, these aren't just borderline. There's like nothing.
Right.
And I have a hard time thinking that your mechanisms are so broken that you can't pull out any, you can't detox any. So it's what's in the blood, what's in the hair, right? And those are important things. And what are you excreting in the urine? So, I mean, I'm not drawn to anyone in particular, hair versus the urine. I just find the hair is easier. The urine, you have to do it and then do the challenge and then do it again and collect urine for it's not like just pee on a strip and you're done. Doing 24-hour urine collections is not the easiest thing in the world, right? So that's just my take.
Can I ask a question just because I'm trying to learn myself the better? Well, it's a depends thing, I understand, but one of the things I understand with the 24-hour urine, much like you were saying about what's being excreted, is the time period. It's going to have a longer time period that it's telling the story of versus hair. At least that's my understanding.
The hair will show over the last few months of accumulation.
Okay.
Right? Because it's just constant. It's not like a single urine or a single blood sample is not as telling as something that's over time. So a 24-hour urine will be more telling. And the hair, which is, it's excreting over a long time, you're going really close to the scalp. So you're getting that inch. So, you know, how long does it take your hair to grow an inch? Maybe 2 months?
Yeah.
Depends on the person, right?
Right.
Some longer than others, but that's a 2 month collection of what your body's excreting. That's why hair is considered a decent method. A single urine sample doesn't tell us much of anything. 24 hour gives us over 24 hours. The hair gives us over a couple of months. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay.
And the EDTA, like I said, do the challenge if you have neurologic. I had somebody with severe neurologic stuff, and we just did one, and her levels were super high. And I'm like, I'm so glad we didn't do the EDTA challenge. And then we had to really help her to support her liver to get rid of it. So at any time you're concerned about something where there's metals, you can do a very slow, gentle detox with that modified citrus pectin, the pectisol, and just, you know, small amounts over time to just gently draw it out. Gently draw it out. But on you, I would look at this and say, I'm not really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not really concerned.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm curious, that's why I want to read through this, about your iron levels being normal blood and your hemoglobin and all your indicators for iron being good and this showing hair low.
Right.
Maybe the opposite, right? And then showing your copper zinc ratio.
Yep.
Here's your copper. Copper's showing, you know, fairly low, and your zinc is showing in the normal range. It could be that over the 2 month period that this was covering, that you were, you know, you were improving. And when was the last time? But you just recently, right? Got the copper
in,
zinc?
In August. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it in was August. It was good. Mm-hmm.
In August, it was good. And this is in September, so a month later, maybe.
Yeah,
just I can't imagine it flip-flopping that quickly.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not super concerned about the zinc copper ratio being high. I'm concerned about the zinc copper ratio when it's low. And some of the places where I've read this, it says when the zinc is high in the hair, it means it's low. Yours isn't high. Yours is normal. But if it's high, it could be that it's low in the system, that the body's overly excreting it.
And it was actually high in the first hair analysis that I did 2.5 years ago. Dr. Mensa ordered that when I first started with him, but it was the doctor's data one. It was not, you know, it was not this particular one. And the zinc was actually high in the hair. And it said that in the explanation that usually means you're excreting too much.
So, right, exactly. Yeah. And it's low. That zinc and calcium, and magnesium, I think, too. So.
But my metals on that test were also extremely low. So I was just kind of curious, you know, 2.5 years later to get it from a different company and see if it
shifted. Know, yeah.
See if it was similar.
And to me, it says if you're excreting some of the regular minerals into your hair and you're not, you know, it seems to me you'd also be excreting if you had an excess of toxins, right? Because, mm-hmm. So personally, I'm not real concerned about this, but I'm curious. So I will read through all the data and I really want to know where they're getting, you know, their stats, because like iron in the hair is not considered a good indicator in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I say, everybody has their own thing. Everybody has their own research. A lot of things in health are controversial, as we know, right? And we just have to figure out what's right for us. But I think this is a really good heavy metal test. I mean, as far as your results, it's really, really good. Super good. Very, very low. So you should be relieved at that.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
Yep.
All right. Stop share. All right. Let me see if that was your question. So let me go to this sheet again. Oops. Okay. I keep opening things and then losing them. All right. Where'd that? Here it is. Is it here? No, that's a different one. Is it here? Here it is, back at the beginning. Okay, ear C. So that was Paula. And then we have Diana. Read my journal for October 6th for the significant health event that took place on October 3rd. Seemed to have developed an irregular heartbeat that lasted many hours. Family history indicates it could be AFib. Question is, what do you recommend as a nutrient or herb to serve the function of a calcium channel blocker type of drug? My older brother takes a drug, Vermira. So far, I'm picking up on my research is magnesium. That's the first thing that I thought of. What others might I look to assist my heart's electrical system? So do you want to get on and chat about that? How did you determine, what did this feel like?
I could not get a pulse. My heart was fluttering. I couldn't breathe.
For how long?
Oh, it went on for about 15 hours.
Did you go anywhere to get it checked out, or you just kind of...
No, the clinic was closed, but when it started, I started, it was right after dinner, I felt just exceptionally tired, and I sat down, and I just felt like I couldn't quite catch my breath, And I did notice that my heart didn't seem like it was beating, like it was fluttering. And so I thought, well, what, that's really weird. And I grabbed my pulse oximeter to see what it was doing, and it wouldn't register. It just would not read at all. And the little screen down at the bottom usually will show the little heartbeat thing going up and down.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was just sort of a wavy line.
Yeah. So you weren't getting a strong heartbeat.
No, I could not get a pulse at all on that pulse oximeter. And so I pulled out my blood pressure cuff and I put that on. It's a wrist one, wrist meter. And I pushed the button and it wouldn't read either. It wasn't giving me a blood pressure. So I was quite concerned. So I just did like cayenne tincture and my heart tonic, and I even tried an aspirin. I was breathing, trying to breathe. I actually was getting pain going down both arms to my hands. I was getting pain in my fingers, and then my feet started to hurt. And I thought, you know, I'm really in trouble, but it was like 7 o'clock. Our clinic closes at 5. And so there wasn't anything I could do except sort of have the phone nearby to dial 911 and get our volunteer. It went through, which would have picked me up, drove me a mile, and then they would have called for a helicopter, and they would have helicoptered me.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we're talking, you know.
You're talking out in the boonies.
Right. So there was really nothing I could do unless it really did get bad and I went out. Or, you know, it's like the crushing chest pain. I tried nitroglycerin. Of course, my nitroglycerin expired about a year ago, but so that didn't help much.
Now, why did you have nitroglycerin? Were you prescribed that in the past?
Angina from many, many years ago. Yeah. I keep it around just in case.
So was there any sweating during this incident, pain in the jaw?
The jaw, no, it didn't go up. See, when I've had angina before, it goes up the jaw. Yeah, but and it usually be on one side, but this one was just totally different. And like I say, my heart just would not beat. I was finally able to get a blood pressure, and it was kind of bizarre. It was like 154 over 119. And it did give me a pulse rate of like 164 off of the blood pressure cuff.
How long after this started?
This was probably 2 or 3 hours after it started. I tried going laying down. I couldn't get comfortable in any position. I was just so short of breath. So, you know, I thought maybe I was going into a heart attack, but it wasn't the classic signs. But when I was, you know, like I said, with the fluttering and I couldn't get a pressure, the first thing I thought of is maybe this is like an AFib, because, you know, we all have those little episodes where occasionally our heart will flutter a little bit and then it'll pump, boom.
Then it comes back down. You know, 15 minutes is different than 15 hours.
Yeah, it was. And so, there, like I said, there wasn't much I could do until 8 o'clock in the morning when the clinic opened. So I just kind of tossed and turned all night and kept changing positions so I could get some air in. Like I said, every once in a while, I'd kind of like pound on my chest thinking, well, if I was in the hospital, you know, they do that bam on the chest to make the heart start beating again. I didn't have anything electrical. So, like I said, I was trying everything I could think of, you know, other than just wait for the clinic to open. And then when I got up in the morning, I had been taking my electrolyte powder, and I thought, you know, maybe my electrolytes are out of whack. So I took a little dose of electrolyte powder, a real small one, because I didn't want to mess things up too much. And that kind of seemed to help a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent, I did my fire tonic and with another dose of the heart tonic in it. And I did that, and then I drank a big glass of water. And then things started to settle down. My heart started to beat again. And I felt really tired, but it all sort of went away about 7:30. So it took about a total of 15 hours.
Mm.
And then I started feeling the interesting part about all this is ever since that happened, I can't smoke.
Good for you.
Well, I kind of looking at it as it was a big fat warning sign.
Yeah.
It's all part of the whole process that I'd been through for the week of, you know, digging through the emotional traumas and all that and going back and finding out, you know, where I really got hooked on this stuff and how did it attach. And
yeah.
And so I had been through rather serious emotional digging for about 2 weeks. And then this happened, and then I haven't been able to smoke. It hurts, literally. The thing is,
your chest, it hurts your throat. What does it hurt?
It hurts my chest.
Yeah.
It literally hurts my heart. If I take
so you're a religious person, right?
Yeah.
And you believe in God. I think that this was a sign.
Oh, yeah, I totally see it that way.
I think it's like, well, if Rita Marie can't get you to stop and your group can't get you to stop, damn it, I'm going to hit you over the head and make you stop.
Well, you know, there was an emotional attachment to it, and I had not found that yet. And Kimberly did that call on the 923 and on the ACEs. And yes, that really got me really thinking and digging. And then she did a little part on the Shine conference, and that was when I really started to dig. And this happened on Wednesday following Shine.
Okay.
So I had been digging, and when I started really going back, I started smoking the year that was probably the worst year of my life as a kid, a young teenager. My father died. My grandmother died. Everything got into upheaval. No one ever actually hugged me. Nobody hugged me. Nobody held me. Painful. They wouldn't let me go to my dad's funeral. I never even believed that, you know, I kept thinking, they're lying to me. Why are they telling me such a stupid thing? And I was in total denial. And it was just before starting school in September, one of the other groups of teenagers I kind of hung around with right before school started said, here, have a puff of the cigarette. And I hated cigarettes. My parents both were very heavy smokers and I couldn't stand the stuff. Well, I made the mistake of, you know, peer pressure. I took one drag of it and I was just like an instant addict. It filled
a hole for you. Yeah.
It filled that hole. But what I was missing was love. I went through that whole horrible year and nobody ever put their arms around me and hugged me or held me or said, it's going to be okay. And that cigarette came along and it attached that dopamine receptor that was needing love. And so every time I have tried to quit smoking, remember we've talked about this before, I get down to about 5 and then I fail every time. Well, my mother never succeeded in quitting smoking. I remember her sitting every night when she'd come home and, you know, lost her husband, raising this child by herself. And she would sit with her martini and her cigarettes. And that was it. She was just like blank. There was nothing there. That was her friend. So in doing all this examining of where this thing came from, that was substituting for something that I was missing, which was love. This thing wasn't love. This was evil. This was something that the enemy did to me. And it's been killing me for 53 years. But now where I realize what and how that attachment happened, I hate it even more than I ever did before.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was a total God thing. I mean, I always give credit to God when he does things that are so strange and miraculous. You know, logically speaking now, I can't even look the things straight in the face. I think, you evil son of a gun.
Awesome.
How
awesome.
Dare you?
Awesome.
How dare you do that to me? I needed love, and that was what substituted.
Yeah. And now you have love.
And now I have love. Self-love. Right? I love myself.
Self-love as a starting point.
Look what I've done. I mean, look at all the things that I've been able to conquer in my own world, of my own health, my family's health, my husband. What could I have been able to conquer? Because I do care about myself. I do want the best for myself. I've strived for it for 30 years now with this chronic disease that I've had. And this was the one thing I couldn't get past. And now I know why. And now I can conquer it. I'm still going through a little nicotine withdrawal. Like I said, I do try.
Physiologic, you know.
Lock it down with just a puff or something. But that puff, every time it goes straight, the first puff, it goes right to my heart and creates pain. But it's the kind of pain that's grief pain. It's not like the physical pain. It's like grief. Okay. It's like, how can I do this to myself? And so I put it right out.
You put it out. So here's the thing. When you get that nicotine withdrawal, it's a physical thing.
Yeah. Right? Hard is the hard
you
part.
You had made that homeopathic. And I know it didn't work at the time, but it might work now.
Transdermally.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying.
Yeah.
That's helping.
Yeah.
Helping a lot. Yeah, it's horrible tasting, but... I can definitely do it transdermal.
You can definitely do it on the wrist where there's a lot of blood vessels and vasculature.
Right. Yeah. Get it in there that way. And so I'm going to, I'm past the desire part. I'm just working a little bit on the actual chemical part. So, and the behavior, I've got my little my liquor stick. So if I need to grab something to hold, I've got my little air thing. And now, you know, these can, because these aren't hurting me.
Right. Right.
But yeah, the AFib is a concern because my brother does have that.
Does have it, and, yeah. So I think the electrolytes, what you said, and you mentioned that, I think the electrolytes are something, and magnesium.
Yeah.
The magnesium-potassium combination, super important. So just make sure you're keeping your electrolytes up. And how much magnesium are you taking right now?
Right now, I'm taking the max I can bowel-wise. I'm taking several different forms to make sure that I don't. But I can only take about 400 magnesium.
Okay. What about adding some topical?
That's the other option. I do have the magnesium oil. So
yeah. What about that? I would even just put it over your heart.
That would have been a good thing. That would have been a really good thing.
Put it over your heart. Put it over your calves. But put it over your heart.
Yeah. That's an excellent suggestion thing. I'm going to write that one down. I'm surprised I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Mag oil over the chest.
Thank you for being opening up so much and being so vulnerable. I think this was really touches all of us. I mean, that's a scary situation to be in. And you toughed it out and you stayed with yourself. You didn't call 911.
I didn't. There really wasn't a way to do that. They would have put me on helicopter. And then my husband would have been like, what is he going to do? He's going to drive like a maniac trying to get to wherever they send me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is, unless I actually like went down and, or, you know, had a stroke or heart attack, there's nothing they could do except package me and put me on a chopper.
Put you out, and then they test you and they say, hey, you're fine now. So the next time, if there is, I'm hoping there's never a next time, but if ever happens again, do the electrolytes right away, you know, do the heart tonic. The heart tonic, I'm assuming, has Hawthorn in it.
Oh, it's got Hawthorn and cayenne. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that you do that right away and then do some topical magnesium.
Absolutely.
There, rub it on your wrists, you know, because it's vascular and thin, you know, and just rub that on.
Yep.
And if you haven't taken magnesium already for the day, take your magnesium.
Yeah, I can do the transdermal. That's not a problem. But yeah, I'm at the max magnesium I can take internally anyway.
Yeah.
And I actually had to change some of the forms around so that I could get up to 400 meg.
Are you mostly glycinate?
I've got glycinate. I've got Seeking Health Optimal Magnesium, which has the glycinate and malate, I think.
Yeah.
And then I also have taurate, and I also have, Drina had me add 3-8.
Okay, good. Yeah, none of the citrate, so that's good. Because citrate is the most aggravating for the bowels, which is what you know, people who have a little bit of constipation issues are find helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a real interesting few weeks. So, but yeah, this is what it took was going back and actually realizing that 8.5 on the ACEs score was significant.
8.5. Oh.
8.5. Oh, and then what was really interesting is I'd already done my ACEs score. She, on this last one that she did, she had some questions about, was there anything else that happened that isn't listed in these questions? And I actually came up with a couple other things. But then she asked about what things have happened since you became an adult, since you were 18.
Yeah.
And when I sat and I looked at the ACEs score, the things that weren't included in the ACEs questionnaire, and then the things that have happened to me as an adult, I realized, you know what? You know, just because you think your problems are insignificant, and that you shouldn't feel, you know, sorry for yourself, other people have it a whole lot worse, it doesn't mean that this wasn't a devastating, you haven't had an easy life, just give yourself a pat on the back and a break. My childhood was horrible. I mean, the whole thing was horrid. But that one year, that was where the cigarette came in.
Well, that's abandonment. I mean, that's serious abandonment, because Dad died and Mom basically checked out.
Checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the grandmother that died, we were living with her because my parents had gotten divorced when I was 5. And that's this grandmother, I have very few memories of from between 5 and 12 because she abused me. Okay. I was beaten, I was ridiculed, humiliated, but I have no memories whatsoever of that. I only have memories of being at school or outside playing with my friends.
Yeah,
if you look at the whole thing, I didn't want to have to go back and like examine, you know, what I've heard that my grandmother was abusive. I don't remember it. I don't want to remember it.
No, you don't need
to. I really want to dig all this stuff up. But like I said, I did do some exploring and I went back to the time. What did I do? What was going on when I started? And I went, that was the worst year of my whole life.
Yeah.
And yeah, my mom just wasn't there. I just don't think she had the skills. I don't hate her for it. My mom was going through her own issues with that whole situation.
Right.
She had regretted divorcing my dad within a week of the divorce being final. So she realized she had made a huge mistake, but she couldn't undo it. And so she spent the rest of her life very unhappy. And the only friend she has was her martini and her cigarettes.
Yeah.
She didn't know what to do to help me. She did her best, but she didn't have skills.
Right. And it's great to understand that people did their best and all to acknowledge that there was pain there and that pain got internalized.
Yeah.
You know, because you shut it out from your consciousness to protect you in your day-to-day life, but it did get internalized.
Yep.
Right. And then it becomes physical. And then, you know, you have the incident with your daughter later on and other things later that just puts you back into that
mode.
Mm-hmm. And now you're letting that go, right? You're not allowing the past hurts to impact your physical body. And that's a real huge, I just think you should really congratulate yourself for being at that point of making that decision.
Yeah. Thank you. Right? Yeah, I was seriously considering actually contacting Kimberly or Laura Fine or somebody when this incident happened. And then I was just literally relieved of the whole desire to smoke a cigarette when I realized what was going on and that it was trying to replace
it. It would be a good idea to schedule a few sessions with Kimberly because she can help you with this a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure she could... If I had run into any roadblocks, I would have definitely, you know, gone that way. But like I say, I think that I was actually given a huge gift by the Lord on this one. Just the way it all happened.
Yeah.
It was a gift. And I think I'm at a good point right now with it. Because like I say, the realization, and now I look at that thing and now it is the enemy. It's no longer my best friend. And it's like, now I can finally release that. And that's what I've been needing. And I've been praying to God to take that desire away from me for so many years. So many years. The first time I tried to quit smoking was when I was pregnant with my first child. And I, you know, that was 40 something years ago. You look different.
I really commend you on just letting yourself do it gently. Sometimes we feel like, oh, just got to rip off the Band-Aid, pull up your big girl panties, muscle on through and do it. And giving yourself the gift of just letting it happen gently and in its own time, that's perfect, Diana. I wish more of us could do that.
I'm just happy that I'm blessed. Though, you know, I feel so much that I was given a gift by God. Because it's something I've prayed for. But it had to be in the right time when I was ready for it. And I was ready to open up and really dig. And that's what I was given, was a huge gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't thank all of you enough. And especially, I'd love to be able to tell Kimberly. You know, someday I'll just, you know, give her the testimony. Or you guys can tell her, you need to watch this, you know, from 10 minutes to 20 minutes or whatever on the video tonight. So that she can get the appreciation of how much she helped me just in her one little presentation and then the few minutes she did at Shine.
I'm excited for you. I'm very excited for you. Yeah. And I just want to make sure you continue to protect your heart tonic, your electrolytes, your magnesium.
I don't want to feel that way.
The physical body, right? So we can't just release the emotions. We have to also make right on the physical body.
Right. And I'm all the detox stuff anyway. So, you know, we're detoxing all the critters out of my gut. So I think I'm in just like the right perfect timing for all of this stuff to be happening now. But it's like, finally I have some success with that one little roadblock.
I think that's going to make all the difference in the world with all your numbers, your blood numbers and all that. Huge difference. Yeah.
Yep. I'm very pleased. So
thank you for joining me.
So that's my win and my concern of the week.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you were on a call before this and didn't even mention it.
Well, I kind of did because I told you I released the nicotine, but I was like so teary.
Yeah, you said you released the nicotine, but you didn't give me the whole backstory. Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. I was still trying to absorb it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I know that it was like a little premature. I wanted to make sure that it was real, that it was going to make this and it was going to stick.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Dr. Edemir.
Brandon wrote in the chat, thank you so much. That was so powerful.
Thank you, Lynn, for the support. Celebrate. Thank you, everybody, for the support.
Diana. So read the chat. There's a lot of great, great support here and a lot of love, Diana.
Thank you.
You know, you have a lot of love here for you. So absorb that, take that in.
I love all you guys too. Thank you guys. Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Next. I want to hear some wins.
Oh, Lynn put up the video presentation and the slides for Jamie's hair analysis presentation. Thank you. And Sandra just joined us. Hi. So whoever else has questions, just wave to me. And also raise your hand. I see, I was going to say, I don't think this went out to the new members, but I see Anya, but I don't see anybody else that's new. I just see the elite. I was concerned that it might have only gone. Oh, there's Nancy. Yeah. Okay, good. And it is Thursday. Yeah. Okay. Debbie. I'm unmuting you. There you go. Nope. Not unmuted yet.
Okay.
You got it? Okay.
I actually just had a couple of quick questions regarding labs that my doctor had ordered for my thyroid a TSH, a free T3, and free T4.
Okay.
And I know that isn't the complete panel that I've done before, but would that be enough for us to see how I'm doing with my thyroid, or is there something
important? It's definitely good. It doesn't tell us the antibodies, but I don't remember. Did you have elevated antibodies?
I haven't had those in the past.
All right. This is good enough then. What's your TSH?
Well, I didn't get them. I just got the lab slip.
Just got the slip. Yeah. 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 We can get a lot from that. I would add total T4 if he can do that. And the reason for total T4 is that's what the total that your thyroid is making. And it gives us an idea, the ratio between, there's two important ratios here. The ratio between total T4 and free T4. That tells us, are you actually able to pull the T4 away? And that's something I'm concerned with you because of your high levels of estrogen. And high levels of estrogen cause an increase in the thyroid binding. So you may have a really good level of total, but a low level of free. So I would see if they can add the total T4. And then the free T3. So the ratio between free T4 and free T3 is super important. So those two ratios can tell us a lot functionally about your thyroid.
Okay, good. So I will, because this can at least go through my insurance. And so I thought I'd try to work with what we had.
Yes, and if they won't do it, you can always go to runmylabs.com, order that one through Direct Labs.
Okay, the total T4.
The total.
Okay. And then, can she also run iodine, or is that like a specialized test that I have to do?
I'm not sure that I really think iodine is good in serum. I think that you're better off for iodine doing the iodine load test.
But she lives in California. They can't do it in California anymore.
None of them. It's not just Hakala. It's direct doctor's data.
I don't know. I just know Hakala, you can't.
Okay. Let's look into whether iodine load. You'd think you can buy Tylenol over the counter and get liver damage from it, but you can't run a simple lab test. Okay. Iodine load, California doctor's data. Okay. I'll look for that.
Okay, yikes. So that's a better way to go, it sounds like.
I'm not sure there's much research behind whether serum iodine, in fact, it's not. It's not a good source.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, those are the main things, because I want to do some labs again. So I wanted to double check with you before I do it. So try to get it all in one draw would be nice.
Yeah, it would be great. So just say, can you just add total T4? And they'll say, why? Because I want to see what my thyroid is producing totally. I have high levels of estrogen, and I know that estrogen increases thyroid binding globulin. And they'll go, huh? We didn't know that. What does that mean?
Yeah. So hopefully they'll allow me to do it, but I'll try to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a $25 test. It's not a big deal.
Oh, okay. If I just do it on my own.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
I will work on that then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? I have hand up from Susanna. Yeah. Hi.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I have one that's kind of a question and one that's a comment observation. The question is thyroid related. Like I imagine a lot of other people who do your program, I get a lot of emails from various people, you know, Dr. Axe, Dr. Christensen, Mercola, you know, and I skim them. Anything interesting, I'll look at it. Anything that's not interesting, I trash it. Every once in a while, I'll go, oh, I've never heard that before. So this is I've never heard that before moment.
Okay.
This is from Dr. Christensen. Okay, so I take Armour Thyroid, and I take a split dose. And Christensen said that's old-fashioned advice and that you really only need to take it once a day. Now, it would be great if I only needed to take it once a day because it would be cheaper. Because the more pills you order,
yeah, the more it costs.
The more it costs. And so I thought it's worth asking about. What I've been doing is taking it when I get up and then again at noon before I eat.
Okay, so that's too close together to take it a second time. So the reason for double doses, two doses, is that the T3 has a half-life of 12 hours. So by 12 hours, it's plummeted. Your levels have plummeted. So if you took it in the morning and then before bed, you know, or you know, when you first get up and then it's 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. or whatever, then you're going to be sweating.
That would hype me up.
What's that?
I'm afraid it would hype me up.
I've had people who have gotten better sleep when they took the thyroid. Yeah, look, here's the thing. We're all unique, right? So it's experiment. Try it and see how it works. Okay. If you want to test it, you just take two of them in the morning and see how you feel and do that for a week and just see how you feel. If right. you have more energy, higher energy, same energy, right? But the other way to do it is then do that for a week and then test your levels. You know, test your levels before on your split dose, test your levels after a week of having it all at once. And if they're the same and you feel the same or you feel better, that's an indicator that that's fine for you. But that's the reasoning behind dosing anything that has T3 twice a day versus once a day is the half-life of T3.
But you don't think, or it's possible, we'll say, you know, given the fact that no one's the same, that it might actually not be a bad idea to take it the second one at night. That for some people that does work and it doesn't
hype them up. Sleep. Or it actually helped their sleep.
That's amazing. And, you know, I would have bet money that would not be the case.
That would not, but no.
But that's worth a try. But I'm getting ready to go on a trip, so I probably should do none of that.
Nothing. Until after. Don't change anything right. when you're not in your home environment.
Right.
Too risky. Yeah.
Okay. So the second thing is a comment and or an observation, I guess. And I just wanted it kind of ties in with the aces, but it's not really an ace. My ace score was zero. I mean,
you are a unicorn, girl. Congratulations.
Well, and see, I did not grow up with or have really any contact with what Annette refers to as her genetic family. I thought I nearly died, busted gut laughing when she talked about, well, if we go to eat with our genetic family at Thanksgiving, then we take our, you know, we were just at our little group all cracking up about that. But I was adopted and I was adopted into a fantastic, I mean, this truly was a God moment. It's like, how did I get so lucky to end up with this fabulous people who supported me? But, okay, so here's the thing, and it wasn't anybody's fault, so I don't count it as an ace, but I've had digestive problems since I was an infant. And where I'm coming from on this is not so much the ACEs, but reading the accessing the power of the healing power of the vagus nerve book.
Yeah.
And about the difference between the ventral vagus nerve and the dorsal. And I think that I have developed over a lifetime of intermittent. It's not, you know, it's not like every single time I eat, it's horrible. But I think that it's happened often enough. And, you know, at when I was younger, it would hurt, you know, it was painful. I mean, painful digestive issues. And they had a hard time when I was a baby. Of course, I was an adoptee in the 50s. Nobody breastfed, but certainly didn't if you were an adoptee. And they had a really hard time finding anything that I could eat. So this has been a lifelong problem, and I think it kind of turned into a trauma.
Yeah, let me stop you there before you go too far, because the pre-birth trauma and the birth trauma may have been the ACE, the score, the problem. So if you were given up for adoption, most likely the mom who carried you was not in a good place.
That's right.
Right? You know, I have two adopted children, and we've given them the best life they could possibly get, but they're still carrying the genetics and the stress of a mom who didn't want them.
Yes. And that
didn't want to be pregnant. Right? Yeah. So I would say probably being adopted counts as one score on an ACE, right? Because there was the pre-birth trauma. Right. Right. And the separation trauma, even though, you know, you're young, but your nervous system internalizes that as a stress, right? You're in this one mama, and now this new mama is taking care of you.
Well, I never saw the other mama.
No, you didn't. Not your born self, not your conscious mind, but your unborn self did, and your energetic self did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may have been horrifically stressful for you.
Right.
Right. And the microbiome, right? Were you C-section or were you?
No, I was a vaginal delivery.
Okay. So vaginal delivery. So you went through mom's birth canal. Right. And mom may have had horrible microbiome, right?
Well, I'm kind of bad on that. You know?
On antibiotics during the pregnancy. Right? We don't know, right? Yeah. We don't know any of those things, but there's a lot of that that could have gone into it, especially since it started when you were an infant and you're in this, right, you know, beautiful, loving environment. That wasn't the issue.
Right. Right? No, that was not the issue. But anyway, so at looking at the vagus information, I feel like, you know, I mean, whenever anybody says, oh, you're stressed, I'm like, I don't feel any stress, but I think I'm in the frozen stress.
Yeah, you know,
so you don't really perceive that, or I don't perceive that.
Right, because you're not in fight flight. You're not in this high state.
I don't really have that. That's pretty under control for me. So whenever anybody talks about stress, that's where my mind went, is the fight flight, which I don't do that. I mean, I can think my way out of that now, and you know, I can get out of the. I can get out of that. And the breathing exercises really help that. When, and if there's a little bit of it. I did do the test, and my left side is, it's like it's paralyzed. It doesn't move. Okay. So I know I have the dysfunction. What I'm wondering, and you know, the exercises, I was doing them wrong. I wasn't doing the, yes, I was doing that, and that corrected me. So I need to retry that, because
that on the stage at Shine, as we were trying to demonstrate.
That's what she told me. She said, "Did you see that?" No, I didn't see. So she told me that, and I've just had hectic days because I'm getting ready to go. I had to go check on my mother, but I am going to try it again, because it's like, okay, it's been 2 minutes, nothing happened.
Yeah,
got to swallow. I don't think it really counted. It took too long.
There's another book that actually is for therapists, but I like the set of additional activities that it has in there. And I don't know if I finished it yet or not, but I'll find the name of it. But it might be worthwhile to just read through that and listen through that and help you, you know, so some different activities. for
right. And you know, the ones that are usually suggested, like gagging. I mean,
gagging, simply sigh.
I stay kind of upset from that for a while, so it's not like I want to get up and do it. And then gargling. Once I have gargled, I feel like somebody sandpapered my throat. So you know, I'm not very good at doing things that are aversive, or that I perceive as aversive.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, too, there are people who do hands-on work with it, and it may be worth looking for a somatic therapist and, you know, look for somebody. Austin's a pretty eclectic place, so yeah. You may be able to find a therapist that does that kind of work.
Okay. You know,
the work that he describes in Accessing the Power, like the work that he does with people.
That he does, right.
Some of the profound stories he told, like that COPD guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of dramatic. This is called that's the polyvagal theory. I downloaded a whole bunch of these books, and why am I missing it? 90 seconds. There's another one I just listened to. 90 Seconds to a Life You Love. Pretty cool book. Circadian Code. I didn't listen to that. Activate Your Vagus. This one has some too. It's called Activate Your Vagus Nerve. And the guy's name is Navis, N-A-V-I-A-Z, Habib, H-A-B-I-B.
Okay.
But let me see. Clockwork. Polyvagal Theory in therapy. Here it is. Yeah. It's called the pop. Sorry, I listen to it at triple speed, so I get through a lot of books really quickly.
Oh, wow.
And it makes me pay attention. The Polyvagal Theory in Therapy, Engaging the Rhythm of Regulation. And some of the stuff that Kimberly talked about during her presentation, you know, with getting, you know, that nervous system regulation. But she's talking to therapists, but, I mean, you can certainly do it with yourself. Right. She gives you some journaling exercises and a variety of things like that. So I'm reading a lot of this stuff now because I want to do a presentation for you guys. And
Tell me that title again,
the polyvagal theory in therapy. And her name is easy. Deb, D-E-B, Dana, D-A-N-A. And she actually has a foreword by Stephen Porges, who is the founder of the polyvagal theory.
Okay, Deb Dana, I see it there.
Yeah, Deb Dana.
Okay.
Yeah. So I listen. So when I hear a good book, I usually like to go back. I like to I'll also download the Kindle version and then take notes and copy paste important pieces. So she had some really good like journaling exercises and things to keep yourself and see where that thing goes.
Well, it occurred to me that maybe this is why I've been after initial great improvement just by taking away all the really bad stuff that I've just kind of slowed down and gotten stuck. Is it?
You know, it's the 80% rule, right? What do they call that? Somebody's theory. I forget whose theory it is, but 20% of the effort gives you 80% of the result, and then 80% of the effort gives you the next 20%.
Yeah.
And that's usually what happens. You get that quick better, and then you kind of stabilize and need to like really dig to get the rest of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But does that, given what you have learned about me throughout last year, does that make sense?
It does. Well, you know, when you think about your genes, right, you've got really good considering your messy gene pool. Yeah. And, you know, and then just this new revelation, you know, I didn't know you were adopted and had the gut stuff from the time you were born.
Early. Yeah.
Right. And so it may have been something that happened prenatally or during the birth.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that was not a pretty scene. I mean, I know it wasn't because I know the you know, when I tried to reconnect with my birth mother, she was just absolutely horrified and angry because she had been told that I would never have access to any information about her.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was ugly.
I bet it was, yeah. I bet it was.
And even it made me appreciate my adopted parents even more. It's like, oh my God, thank goodness I did not have to grow up with that.
Yeah, exactly. Both of my kids were reconnected at different points. My son at 15 found his brother, his biological half-brother, actually, Facebook. And then he convinced Eric to, you know, converse with the mother. And it was just through email and Facebook. And he found out he wanted to know, like, all the different things. He's a very methodical, logical kid. He wanted to know everything about them, family history, history of all kinds of diseases, history. He sounded like his mom, right, doing a case history on his birth mother. But he basically came back and I'd asked him, I said, so have you kept connection? He goes, no, I just wanted to reach out, you know, kind of chat with people who had the same bloodline. He goes, I'm just really glad I'm with you. You know, so that was really good. And then my younger son, his biological mother reached out to him, and get this, found him through 23andMe.
Mm.
He had done the test, and I think I accidentally, he didn't have his name, but it had, you know, that you can anonymously share your genetic information and they'll hook you up with family members. And her niece went on, you know, 23andMe and said, oh my God, I have a first cousin on 23andMe. Oh my God. And, you know, talked to her. And she said, well, none of my kids have done that test. So then she went and did that test, but she reached out and found him through Instagram, because, you know, kids are big on that, and found him through Instagram and reached out and said, would you like, you know, I'd love to meet you. And he came to me. This was the day before Shine started, last year or the year before, I can't remember. And he comes, he calls me as I'm on my way to get my massage to relax the day before Shine. And he says, Mom, I just got a call from my birth mother. I'm like, and she wants to meet me. And I wanted to find out if that's okay with you. And I'm like, I said, as long as you don't go live with her, it's fine. You can meet her. He goes, and I said, look, if she has her own skate park in her backyard and a room full of guitars, I'd understand if you wanted to leave me and go, you know, go live with her. And he laughed. He said, oh, yeah. No. So he said, Mom, you're always my mother. You're always my mother. So that made me feel good. And then after he met her, I said, how was it? He goes, you know, she was a nice lady. I don't have any, you know, anything more than, she's a nice lady. Right. And, you're my mother. You'll always be my mother. So that made me feel good too.
Yeah. My mother told me at one point when my birth mother was being really uncooperative, and I used a confidential intermediary because I didn't want to be threatening. My mother said, and of course I'm not a dumb person. So the lady told me what she did. And I just went right on behind her and went to all the archives and found all the information, because they goofed up and they didn't close my records when they were supposed to. But anyway, my mother said, honey, and my mother was a teacher, she was strong personality. She said, I'll go bang on that woman's door if you want me to. And I'll tell her just what I think about this. I went, no,
don't do that.
I'm happy with you. I don't need this.
I don't need this. But most kids who are adopted do have that feeling that
it's curiosity. It's like a complete identity.
Right. It can be one of those subconscious kinds of stresses that, you know, you address and it may be.
And you move on.
Consciousness, yeah. And then you move on, right? But it was like a stuck point for you. And if this, you know, the gut stuff is this stuckness and this pain, there was a pain related to that, right?
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot of pain related to that. I mean, you know, I was just fortunate that I didn't grow up with it. I mean, you know, yes, there was some residual things, but once I got away from that situation, everything was about as perfect as it could have been.
That's great. But there's still
your kids with you.
And I've dealt with that with my kids. And yeah. I've told them stories like, people tell their kids, you're adopted, your mother didn't want you, so I took you. What a horrible story to tell a kid.
I never heard that.
No, I'm glad because that's
we're so glad we got to have a child.
Yeah. Here's what I told him, because I'd had some miscarriages before he was born. I said, honey, you kept coming to me. You kept coming to me. You kept coming to me, and my body wasn't letting it happen. And so you found somebody else to come through, and you whispered in her ear, I'm not yours. I'm not yours. You have to find you have to find my parents. And she found us, and here you are. And the thing is, when we first saw him, we was like 12 hours old. I recognized him.
Wow.
It wasn't like, oh, he's this kid. I literally recognized him. He was like, you know, he's come home. So there's something to be said about, you know, universal intelligence, right? That there's this baby spirit that's supposed to be with, and you were intended to be with the parents you ended up with.
Well, and during the interview, this is another freaky woo-woo moment, but after the interview with the social worker, you know, back then they did homes for unwed mothers. And after the interview with that social worker, she said, okay, so what you ideally want is a little redheaded girl that can play the piano.
And?
And that's what they got.
How do you know that? Oh, my God.
My mom told me that. It was just... It's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's just no question. That's where I was supposed to go.
That's where you're supposed to be. And my kids know this is where they're supposed to be. And, you know, there's so much love there. And
so, you know, I can't go back and fix what all that stuff that happened before. I mean, Anna can't go back in time and fix that stuff, you know, and I'm hoping I've dealt with it enough. Because I just feel gratitude to my parents.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Whatever happened with the other folks, they probably did the best they could there.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody does the best that they can. And sometimes it impacts us physically and emotionally. And so sometimes there's a release that has to happen bodily. You know, like to let it go. You're in Austin. Maybe you should just hook up with Laura Fine and go have a hands-on session with her.
Oh, is she here in Austin?
Yeah, she is. Awesome. And she could help patch up that vagus nerve and release some of that anything and find the block. If there is a block, she can do a hands-on thing and find a block. And maybe it's right there in that chakra over the gut and help you let it go. Yeah, but she is in Austin. She's in South Austin, right?
I'm in East
Austin,
over close to Mueller.
Okay. Yeah, she
doesn't matter. I'm retired. I can't go
anywhere. Doesn't matter. She's, you know where the ashram is in South Austin? It's a temple. Anyway, it's by, what's that road? 13, I can never remember the name of the road.
Southwest Austin?
Yeah, Southwest, yeah.
Way kind of near that barbecue place. Now I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right near there.
Yeah. 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 I've been to the ashram before.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
Yeah. She lives on the ashram property.
Oh, she does live on the property. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll have to look her up. That might be very interesting.
Contact information.
Lynn probably is it Barsana?
Barsana. Yeah.
Barsana Dom.
Now they call it something else. Hot Mata Rada Dom or something
it's
like
over
that.
By the Salt Lake.
Yeah, it's over by the Salt Lake, and it's on that road, and you go down Barsana Road, it's still called, to get there. And I forget, 1340, or I don't remember the name of the roads, there's too many. But yeah, it'd be good to have some of that, I think, really good.
You think she has a understanding with vagus nerve blockage as well as part of what she does?
Yeah, I think what she does is very, it helps the vagus nerve dramatically.
Okay. Yeah. That's really good to know. But that was kind of an eye-opening insight, kind of like what Diana said, not nearly as dramatic or health affecting, but it's like, oh, has this been what's been going on?
Yeah, and it could be because I would
maybe it is, maybe it's not. Yeah.
You know, even though it's not on the ACEs, were you adopted or separated from your biological parents, right? I think that's
right. Well, and for 4 days, I mean, you saw your son when he was 12 hours old. For 4 days, I had nobody. Nobody. I mean, I hope some nurses pick me up every once in a while. Now, when I was at 4 days, I went home with my parents. And
well, that's good. That's early enough on, right? Yeah. My second son, we didn't get to him till he was 3 weeks. He was put with a foster family who had two other kids. And, you know, I think she was a nice person. I just don't know how much of that help holding and bonding. I did breastfeed my adopted children.
Oh, wow.
I didn't get milk, but I still breastfed them. I used a supplementer device and they could get their formula, and I made formula for them. They could get that, but also have the bonding experience. It was amazing. And my second son, he didn't ever want to stop. And he, when he was four or something, a friend came over and she had a baby and she was nursing. Mommy, is there any milk in your boobs anymore? I want to drink from your boobs. You know, because it was a very special thing. And they said, well, he's been on a bottle for 3 weeks. Unlikely that he's going to take to nursing. Yeah, he just didn't want a bottle ever again after that. So it's a very special bonding, you know. Yeah. And a lot of people that stay with their biological family, I didn't get, you know, I think I did get nursed for a few days. But well, a lot of people, especially our age, we didn't get nursed because the doctors were saying, you know, formula is better, you know.
It's
kind of crazy. But yeah, there's all those bonding things that you miss in that first few days. You know, your immune system misses the colostrum when you don't get breastfed, right? So that creates a strong immunity. Yeah. So there's a lot of advantages to it. And so don't underrate that there was a stress to your body, to your system. Being left alone for 4 days, right? Yeah. In a hospital being picked up. Yeah. But it was great because as soon as we got there, they pulled him out and I was able to hold him. And I explained to them that I was going to be nursing him. I wanted to, and they let me do that right there in the hospital. They brought a lactation consultant in. It was beautiful. It was quite beautiful. Yeah. No, he's 25 and not interested in breastfeeding anymore. Thankfully.
Yes. Time and place.
That's right. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Diana and others. Yeah. Okay. Susanna, okay, I can put your hand down. Who else after that? We've had some really touching stuff today. Okay, Sandra, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hello.
I just had a great session with Isabel. She made a great plan for me to try for 30 days to see if we can do something about my inflammation. If you want to read it, it has a lot of supplements.
Okay. I don't know that we can do that right now. Did you know where it is? Is it in your folder?
Yes, it's in my folder under the private session.
Are you going to do the liver flush with her again?
Well, what she suggested is to do your 30-day leaky gut detox.
Yeah.
And intestinal repair protocol.
Oh, stay. It's not your private section action, Isabel. I see it.
So it's the last portion of it.
One at the bottom
of the document.
She takes good notes. Yay. September 8th, October 15th. Okay. Yeah. Okay, adjust vitamin C or magnesium to take place of intestinal movement. Yes, I agree with that totally. I think that they're more gentle, and it's also an indication if you're not at bowel tolerance to them that your body needs more. So I agree with that. Stay calm and present. Get to bed by 10. That's a challenge for you, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so what time do you go to bed now?
I've been going like at 11 or 10. Well, some days I make it at 10:30.
Not bad. So, you know, just move it back 15 minutes a day and in 4 days you'll be at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's easy. Test for transit time. Okay. Now, you know, we typically do, what I wrote up was charcoal, but I've recently had somebody suggest sesame seeds. And Lynn, if you want to share what you said earlier about using sesame seeds, how effective you're finding that since you learned about it.
Yes, it's very effective. You can actually see it. That was the big win for the one person that I was working with, because they were just never quite sure if they were actually seeing the charcoal.
Yeah, that had the same happened to me.
Yeah.
And do you remember, I wrote it somewhere. It's like a tablespoon of sesame seeds. You just put them in water for a bit and then you just drink it.
I don't think it's quite a tablespoon. I thought it was, I'm actually just looking at her, what I told her. I thought it was a teaspoon, but I'll double check here.
Okay.
Yeah, and your basically... the other thing I heard from somebody else is to do it with beets.
Yeah.
Beets is kind of rough too, because it can raise your blood sugar.
Yeah.
And corn is another way to do it, but it can raise your blood sugar, and, you know, GMO corn. It's a little rough on the digestive tract to have unchewed corn going down.
Yeah.
Well, I last time I did it, I had organic corn from my CSN, and I tried it, and I couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't figure it out. Hmm. Okay, I was by this.
Yes, I would see the grains, you know. Maybe I re-chewed.
Maybe you chewed them too much. You got to not chew them.
Yes, and sesame seeds don't break down.
They won't break down unless you chew them, and you don't chew them. It's really hard to chew them anyway. But you just basically make a drink, you know, like a beverage.
It's a teaspoon. It's a teaspoon, like 8, 10, 12 ounces of water, and you just drink it down.
You just drink it like a drink. You know, you don't drink it. You don't try to chew it.
Mm.
So I would try that way. Can I write in here?
Yeah, I think so.
Whoops. My thing keeps booting me here. All right, so let me look. All right, I'm just going to write suggest. RL suggestion. And because sesame seeds are such a different color than stool, unless you've got a gallbladder problem or liver problem and you have sandy cold stools, it's really easy to see them.
Okay.
Okay, and you just do the same way. Okay, so prep for leaky gut detox and intestinal repair when you return from your trip. You're back October 30th, okay? Core strategies for supplements. Digestive enzymes. Intolerance complex by enzyme C, carbo G by transformation enzymes.
And she was suggesting that because when I eat out, you know, I cannot control what is in.
Well, so, you know, you should be able to control, like, say, no to gluten, but you don't know if you're going to get cross-contaminated.
That's right. So she said that will help.
I don't know. Is this the ones that Dr. Tom talked about at, at Shine, there's a particular one that he recommended, and I don't know about these, but I think it's a good idea. Quell mucosal inflammation, empty stomach, liposomal curcumin, resveratrol by Empirical Labs, 1 pump. Okay, great. Binder digest toxins, proteolytic enzymes in between meals. Yep. Help to physically digest up poorly digested proteins, damaged cells, as well as toxins and debris, and decrease inflammation. So it definitely is going to decrease inflammation, and it could decrease histamine. And then Pectisol. Yeah, I think Pectisol is a good one. GI detox by Bioident. I don't know that one. I don't know what's in that one.
Well, I've been taking Pectisol C. She said that this other one has other things that it has pectasol, it has modified citrus pectin.
The detox by Bioidentical GI detox, is that the one? because proteolytic enzymes, I think, are great in general for inflammation. So I highly support that. I'm going to look to see what the ingredients are. Yeah, so if this is something that has the modified citrus pectic plus, then you can do this instead of the pectisol. Here we go. Oh, it's the biocidin one. Let's see. Gentle full spectrum binder. Oops, I got a 404 error when I clicked it. Okay, let's see. Okay. GI detox. It has zeolite. Zeolite's good. GI suggest. Now, you just have to make sure you drink lots and lots and lots of water because it could constipate if you don't.
Okay.
Zeolite, activated charcoal, aloe vera, silica, pectin. And yeah, I think it sounds great. And their capsules are pure. They don't have stearates in them. Yeah. Why don't you give that a try?
Yeah, I will. And the other thing, well, I think it's a great plan. And, you know.
Yeah.
Like something that has a beginning and an end. 30 days of this and see what happens. The other thing is, yesterday I went to my biological dentist and I had my mouth clean. And they suggested that I did a ozone thing.
Yeah.
And they say, well, it will kill all the bacteria, the good one and the bad one. So I said, well, you know, I have so low diversity. I don't know.
Well, it's
your mouth, I want to kill everything.
Inserting it, injecting it into your gut.
No. This is
IV.
They do something with, I don't know exactly.
It's in your mouth, though. It's not like a systemic.
No, it's not the injection. No, it's.
Yeah, it's I think it could be very helpful because you can always replenish it. There are some chewable probiotics that are meant for the mouth or not even chewable, but the suckable, right? That you just leave in your mouth. And you can replenish. Rhamnosus is a good one for, you know, replenishing the mouth flora. And what's the other one? I think it's rhamnosus and there's one other mouth flora. And there's a recipe in the Eating for Dental Health part on the site that you make these little, like, suckers, right? You make them with coconut oil and you put probiotic in it and you freeze them and then you put them in your mouth and let them melt. And so it stays in the mouth a long time.
They're like little swish butter cups.
Yeah. They actually can taste pretty good if you put some peppermint oil in it or something. Let me see. It's not giving me the species. There is a really cool dental. When did Steph do that? That was that for ERC? That was for CMDS, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Steph did that mouth one. I wonder if we can share that link. I'll put that here. I'll give you the link to that. Steph did this beautiful presentation on gut micro, mouth microflora and some of the products you can make yourself to restore that flora. So Steph. Mouth. I think it was my intention to add that to the Body Freedom. Let me see if I did. All these things are like snap. Do you ever get that? Snap. You have to reload the page. How weird. I think I have some trouble with my internet here. All right, let me try reopening the site and I'll see if it's there because I did intend to put it there. And if not, I'm going to write add to dental page. Okay. Okay, so if I go to Body Freedom.
I don't see it.
You don't see it? All right. We'll find the link to it. I think it's on CMDS.
It is. I've got it.
Okay. And we can add it to this page. Okay. So it's not there. All right.
Do you want me to just put it in your...
Yeah, if you have it, put it in the chat. Yeah, I mean, you can put it in the chat here. I don't care. Angelica, she's got her blue, her Bacher glasses on. Cool.
That's right. That's right. Lynn Rose taught me.
Good for you. Okay, so yeah, Lynn just put the recording on there. Is it an act? They may not be able to reach it though. If it's an actual page there.
Oh yeah, it's an
IP. They have to have, yeah. We'd have to, like, okay, let me see. Right click, copy link. I'll give you the link to the ad, to the video. And I'm going to put it in my chat as well. I can bring my chat. There you go.
I put the link for it in your chat too.
Okay, good. Thank you. So here is the MP4. And then this really cool little booklet that she did. Let me find it again. Oh, handouts and recipes. So it's recipes for a healthy mouth. And you know, Lynn, Steph's such a geek about probiotics. She researches them. So you'll find out from there what the good guys are for your mouth to replenish it. Where'd she go? Sandra, still there?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't see you.
I'm right here.
Okay, good. Yeah. So take a look at that in terms of, you know, ozone can be very effective, especially if you do have dysbiotic organisms in your mouth or you've had root canals and other things that create a bad environment. But then replace it with the good flora. And those resources will give you good ideas for that.
Isabel was talking that biocidin can have something that will also help with the oral bacteria.
Well, they have a toothpaste. Yeah, they have a toothpaste. I don't know if anybody's tried it, but yeah, you have. And also the, what's her name? Trina Felber, who spoke at Shine. She has some good products that have all the different clays and stuff that help to restore the flora as well. So, you know, years ago, there was no choice. You bought Crest or you bought Tom's. That was your choice in toothpaste, right? And now you have all kinds of options that are therapeutically sound. So yeah, cool. I think that her plan looks great. My only recommendation was use the sesame seeds for the bowel transit, because so many people have said to me, I can't tell when the charcoal comes.
Yeah, it happened to me. I could never tell.
Yeah, yeah. Try the sesame seeds. I think you'll be able to see it.
Well, fantastic.
Great. Yeah. Yeah,
happened to me too. And I took, like, I remember I told you, Rita Marie, I took like 9 charcoal capsules once. I'm like, I want to see it.
I can't. Yeah.
I don't think I ever did.
Yeah. And sometimes it just gets blended in and the stool is so dark to begin with. It just, it's kind of hard.
Dr. Rita Marie, I've been using that Dentalcidin toothpaste that they make, the Biocidin.
Yes.
Since my big gut explosion last year, and I love it. It's definitely knocked down the candida in my mouth.
It's called Dentalcidin.
It is that's Biocidin's toothpaste. It's very expensive. It's $27.95. They have it at the doctor's supplement store. Doctor's supplement store.
We just arranged for you guys to have a permanent 10% off.
Yeah, amen. I'll take it.
So you'll have there's a coupon code. We'll put it in the, it'll be in the newsletter tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you can just start getting your 10% off and then still the free shipping over 100. So you don't have to worry about spending $250 to get the 10% off.
Yeah.
All right.
And you know, $27.95 is an awful lot for toothpaste. I thought Tom's at $6 was expensive, but this stuff really does work and it's kept that yeast under control in my mouth.
Awesome.
I mean, I won't change brands again.
I mean, it's a small amount compared to everything else you spend. How long does it last for?
I'm on my third tube. Say about 3 months.
3 months. That's not bad. Yeah. I mean, so it's $100 a year to.
But I use it once a day because my other protocol is I have a mouthwash that I make from scratch, of course, with herbs. So I use the toothpaste in the morning, and then at night before I go to bed, I floss and swish with the mouthwash.
And then it gets to really stay there overnight. You know, it's not going to get knocked out with your eating during the day. So that's a good
thing. Yeah, and the mouthwash is actually based on the old Lavoris mouthwash formula. It's got bloodroot in it.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's extremely healing to the gums. That it also got myrgum and spearmint, and it's wonderful. It gets rid of gum inflammation just like that.
You're creating a store for us, an online store with all your products.
No, that one I got actually, it was a recipe that I got off of a cleansing and surgery. They have a website called Cleansing and Surgery, and it's where I picked up my liver cleanse, the gallbladder cleanse. They have all kinds of, you know, safer options for detoxing and taking care of our health. And that recipe was there, and I just ordered the herbs. I don't have bloodroot around here. I don't have myrgum, but I do have my own spearmint. So, so I just followed their directions, and it's the bloodroot's the most expensive part of the herbs because it's not cheap. It doesn't take a lot. It's only like a tablespoon, a heaping tablespoon per batch. The batch makes a full quart of mouthwash.
Yeah, so you're really not
a long time.
Using a tincture bottle in the course of a couple of years, that sounds like.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal. So anyway, I can actually put the link up to the recipe on the ERC page.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's only, like I say, three things, a cup and three quarters of vodka. You strain it let it sit for 2 weeks in the vodka and shake it every day. Then you strain out the herbs, and then you fill up with distilled water to finish up that quart. And you've got a quart of mouthwash for as long as it lasts you.
That's awesome.
And Mountain Rose herb usually does have the bloodroot. You can buy a 4-ounce bag, and that's like basically it's about four batches of the mouthwash. So it comes out to about $10 a batch.
That's very cool.
That's what I figured out. So anyway, I love this stuff. And like I say, it just takes gum inflammation and soreness and just wipes it out.
Wow.
I don't know, some of us are old enough to remember that Lavoris mouthwash, the red, it was red in color.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff? Yeah, and that's what it had in it. The active ingredient was bloodroot. They do not have that in any of the mouthwashes anymore.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is off topic, Diana, but I have been using the grape vodka. I can't remember the name. I get it from Oregon.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to use the potato or something. I was having a better result just in terms of blood sugar and stuff like that. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's a good endorsement. Yeah. There's several places that have the organic grape alcohols and other, you know, besides the potato types. So that's good to know.
I tried to order grape alcohol years ago to make tinctures, and they had such a steep shipping fee because they said there was some special considerations and this and that. I was like, it was going to cost me like four times as much as what it costs for the quart of whatever it was to ship it. And I'm like, I don't think so. So I never.
Well, and it was a good deal. It was a good deal to just stick with the potato vodka until all the potatoes are all GMO now. So now it's literally toxic. It's not safe. The grain was bad enough, but now the potatoes are all GMO. And the grains are all sprayed with glyphosate. So we're screwed every which way. But if you can get the organic grape alcohol, then it's worth it because you're actually, you know, looking out for your health in addition to saving. Who cares about saving money? $27.95 for a tube of toothpaste? Are you kidding me?
In the scheme of things, right? It's not a big amount of money over the course of the year. It's
my microbiome in my mouth.
How much does it cost to go to the dentist once?
Oh, God. Let's not go there.
$300 just to walk in the door.
Yeah.
I've been using Reviting that it's $15.
What is it called?
Reviting.
I don't know that.
R-E-V-I-T-I-N. It's also for the mouth microbiome.
Good to know all these things. Yeah, my M&Ms and Kool-Aid days made it such that my teeth were mostly filled by the time I was 18, and then I had to have a root canal by 18. So, yeah, still
same here
from that because half my teeth are not real. You know, I have bridges and cause all that happened before I was of age.
Yeah, I had 9 root canal teeth, and they're all pulled, and I'm just having hard time finding anything that replaces it that I can chew well.
So all that thing you did with Dr. Nunnally, that didn't work out?
Yeah, I just use it for presentation. It just doesn't fit well.
Uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Not to chew.
Oh. Well, liquid diets for Lynn. Yeah. When you drink a liquid diet, you really should be chewing, but it doesn't hurt your teeth. You just, because it activates the amylase and the other enzymes in the mouth. So you should keep it there and chew. That's what I do, you know, when I'm doing liquids. Yeah. All right. Who else? Questions, comments? Anything I can help you with? It's been a fun call. We're all over the map with this. Did I get to show you on another call the new addition to your master trackers? I think I started to on Saturday. Oh, was it ready? Was it done? I don't know if it was done. Okay, I'm going to show you because it should be in all your master trackers now. I had Francis add it. So I'll pull up a master tracker I'll randomly pull up somebody's master tracker and see if it's there. And I was excited because I mentioned it. We got it finished on Monday. I think Francis added it to everybody's. Better her than me because that's the part I love creating, but don't make me go back in and do. Okay, I'm in Paula's. Paula, is it okay if I look in your master tracker and show it? Okay, it's empty. It's really, really, really cool. If I must say so myself, I geek out on it. Let's see. Paula, master tracker. Master tracker. And if you look in the index when it first comes up, it says supplements tracking. Click that. All right. So are you ready? What you do is you put your name of your supplement here in the brand. So Seeking Help B12, you know, Thorn, vitamin C, whatever. You put it across here. And then you look at the ingredient list. You just take the bottle and you go, oh, it has this much vitamin A, you know, 20. It has this much B5, 150, right? It has this much K, 100. And then you say the next name and brand, and you go, oh, it also has, 200 vitamin A and no B5, but it has 120 vitamin K. Look what happens in this total column. Adds it all up. See it? It adds it all up for you. All right. So I put I'm going to get it out so Paula doesn't go, what the heck is this? Mm-hmm. Scroll down. I put all the vitamins. Poor Francis. I'm going to have a re-upload because we just updated this on our ERC call. Let me open that one.
On the NAPT call.
On the NAPT, sorry. Where did we put it? I close it? I must have closed it. All right, let me look again for master. What was it? Make. Master tracker. I don't know how to find it easily. How do I find it? It was open earlier and I closed it. So maybe it's in my place where you go. Help me. Who's good at this? There we go. History. Nope.
Are you looking for the one that was...
one that I edited earlier. Yeah, the master. Oh, I know how to get it. I can go to that INE page. Yeah, I'll find it. We moved to a new version of the Google Docs thing and it doesn't... the find stuff is not as easy. Okay, I'll show you what we did. And I'm going to have to ask poor Frances. I keep asking her to update this, but this is important. All right, let's go to tracking. All right, so what you'll see is all the practitioners on the call said, what about the forms of some of these that are going to be different, like vitamin A as retinol palmitate, but vitamin A as beta carotene? What about B9, folate, methyl folate or folic acid? Some people have synthetics in there. B12, there's four different forms. So we put that down. D1, D2 or D3, K1 or K2. So we edited that. And then we added a whole bunch more. So you can just add as many things as you want down below. Any herbs. So Diana, with all your special tinctures you take, you can just add them. And then you can go as many as you want. You can add amino acids, whatever else is in your formula or whatever you're taking. And then across here, you can see that goes really far. Okay, so you can add quite a number. Hopefully you're not taking that many. I showed this on the other call, but if you want to add another column, like say you go, oh my, I came to the end and I have three more supplements to do. You go like, whoops. You can go like this and you can go copy. And then you go here and you say paste. And it just adds them. And it just keeps the same formatting and all the other stuff. The other thing you can do, if you have so many ingredients that you run out, which I doubt you will, you can just say, I'm going to add another 10. And I go like that. And I say copy. And then I go like that. And I say paste. And now you have another 10. Just make sure when you add it that you see this zero here, because if you click this, it has a formula up here. That's that you want to make sure you preserve the formula. And that's it. Isn't that cool? And then we added the notes field. That's the other thing we added, because if there's anything about it, like say there's a form of B6 in there that's not one of these two, you can just put a note right here. You can also put notes up here just in case there's anything special you want to say. You can put notes up here. Cool? I'm excited. I'm super excited. I'm a geek on those kind of things. Somebody asked, oh, what about the RDAs? Like, oh yeah, we could put a column that has the RDA so you know what you're targeting for. But it ain't going to be me that does it. I don't have the patience for it. Give me the techie, high-tech, figure it out stuff. So I might ask somebody on the team to do that, but you can always look it up or have your chronometer that tells you what the RDA is. And the RDA is not necessarily what you need either, right? You may need a lot more. Like the RDA of vitamin C is 60. If anybody here doesn't get 60 in a supplement, you know, you're going to be crazy. And sometimes it says that on the label, on the bottle. Cool? Who likes it? Yeah? I'm excited about it. All right. Anything else before we go? I broke my fast today. I am loving the chronometer, and I figured out how to put in glucose and ketones, and it calculates my glucose ketone index. I can put in my blood pressure. I can put in my heart rate. I put in all these things, and it's just right here on my phone. Very cool. Very cool. And I'm going to use it for, you know, for myself to calculate to make sure, am I really getting all the nutrients I think I'm getting from my food? And it's fun to look at. And it also does the omega 3 and 6 ratio, which is a cool thing to calculate. Right. So
what did you break your fast on, Dr. Rita Marie?
Butter lettuce and an avocado and some cocoa yolk. Mm-hmm. I figured I'm a seasoned faster, and I know how I react. And I've had those after breaking it. I usually recommend people break with one or two foods. I would have done arugula to get a lot of nutrition, but we were out. We were really out of greens. The only greens we had left was butter lettuce. So I had a whole container, like 5 ounces of butter lettuce, and I chewed it really, really well. Yeah. And okay, I'll tell you the calories from that, and it's very low. And this is what I'm going to do to track as I do my, I'm going to do the eat while fasting before I make it public, but I'm going to track it this way so I know exactly what I'm getting. I do have to change one thing. I actually ate the whole jar of the cocoa yolk, so two servings. Edit. All right, so I had a jar of cocoa yolk, I had a whole avocado, and I had a whole container of butter lettuce. And it didn't feel like, I just went really, really slowly. And I was going to stop if I felt, you know, like I was getting to the end. And I had 425 calories, only 6.6 grams of protein. Cause I, you know, if I had arugula or kale, it would have been higher. And 33 grams of fat. But, you know, it's the first day breaking a fast. You're not going to hit all your nutrient needs. Mm-hmm. But in there, lots of fiber, iron, 32% of my iron in just that food. My omega-3 was 24%. My zinc was 15%. Folate was 56%. And B6 was 34%. So I'll transition up, you know, to get to the right amount of calories for me. I usually like to do the first day, you know, 500 or less. And I usually eat later in the day when I break a fast. The next day I'll go up to like 750 to 1,000. And then I'll work my way up and see how I do. And more variety as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How many days were you fasting?
5 days. I do 5 days every month or two. So I did it in September, early September. I did it in the end of July. I did it in June, early June, and I did it in early May. So sometimes it was 4 weeks apart, sometimes six or seven. But I try to do it regularly. I love it, except last night my husband decided he was going to make a big pot of soup and the smell was wafting up. And I'm like, maybe I'll just do a 4 day fast.
When you're fasting, your senses are like super senses. You can smell that soup probably from 5 miles
away. There was a lot of willpower to not do it, but I didn't. I didn't. I waited.
I remember doing a 2 week juice fast once and I would walk into the store and I could smell them cutting bologna, which was like way on the other end of the, you know, it's like I could smell the white Wonder Bread and the cheese and the bologna. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I could relate. Yeah, I would juice fasted for 3 weeks. I would go into a cafe to like work and they'd be toasting a bagel or something. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's just, it's intense. It's an experience.
Intense. Are you still juicing?
Yes, I am. I feel great.
Good. Good for you.
So all nice right. Not to ever have any bloating going on. It's so freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you got to get working on that digestion. You probably have low stomach acid, low enzymes, maybe a little overgrowth. But, you know, if you stay on it long enough, those cells recreate and the stuff dies off. And my candida completely went away after my 28-day water fast.
Do you think dysbiosis can clear up even on a juice fast, or does it have to be like?
Are you doing a fruit end?
Yeah, I'm definitely putting in fruit. Otherwise, I wouldn't have energy. I wouldn't have any energy to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know, because if it's fruit, it may be, you know, it may be growing, but it's clearly your body's liking it. So.
Oh yeah, I'm working on the healing.
Good.
I take my bitters religiously.
Good. Anybody else? Well, thank you all for being here. I'm going to unmute you all so we can all just say goodbye and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Come to the title show on Saturday. It's going to be on cheeses.
Yes, I'm coming. Lots of cheeses, please.
Lots of cheeses. Any particular ones?
Anything. Anything.
Just give us the cheese.
Please.
My son and his girlfriend requested like a Mexican queso. So we'll do a Mexican queso because they love that when they go out to the restaurant.
I'll tell you one thing that I really like is blue cheese dressing on my salad. And I miss that.
Which one?
Blue cheese dressing on a salad.
Huh.
It's kind of like a ranch, but it's got little chunks of blue cheese.
I've seen commercial plant-based versions of blue cheese, so I know there's a way.
Yeah. I think there's a way. Let me think about it.
That'd be awesome. If you could find something that would be close to that, I'd be very delighted.
Have you ever tried Kite Hills? They don't have it in all the store, but it's, well, your stores won't have it. Yeah. It's the one I call the Brie, but it's oh my God, it's, you can pop that up and put it in stuff. It even has the little casing around it that's like Brie. Oh, they have it at some of the Whole Foods, Susanna, here in Austin. I don't know about other places, but
we will get some of that Parma, the Parma cheese.
Well, the Parma is the, you know, the
shaker stuff, yeah. But yeah, that's about as good as I can get here.
That's about.
Can you go fresh?
I'll show how to make that too.
Because I want to do my meals.
Keep it easy. Oh. Who's got a little kid there? Is that you, Lynn?
Yeah.
No?
Nancy. It said Nancy.
Oh, Nancy. Hi. I unmuted everybody. That's why. Hi, everybody. Good to see you, hear you, have you here. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone.
Bye.